Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down Rabbit Holes Podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. And I'm looking forward to chatting with you because it has been a long day. And this is like...
So I want to tell you this case. I have struggled with it. I have written the outline probably four times and then deleted it. Because it's not like something we normally cover. But... two people I used to work with in a different lifetime, I'll shout you out here, Ashley and Dana, have asked for it like three separate times. Because it happens like 40 minutes from where I live.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just going to dive in, okay?
I'm totally ready and I'm like suspicious.
So we're going to talk about Christopher Cole Thomas.
Okay.
He was born in July of 94. They lived in Live Oak, Florida. From what I've gathered from interviews with family, and I know they did a long-form interview on the Vanish podcast. I didn't listen to it, but actually I try not to do podcasts, but whatever. I did listen to a couple of clips from YouTube, and super bright kid. Grades were never a problem for him. Had a little brother on the autism spectrum. But, like, lit up Cole's world. Adored his little brother. And his little brother adored him. Always an honor student, taking college classes during high school. The whole, like, good kid.
Yeah, he's got it all going for him. We could only dream of having children just like that.
Exactly. So, he got a scholarship to study sports medicine at the University of Florida. College went well. But with, it sounds like, a semester remaining, Cole decided he was done with school and wanted to join the workforce instead.
So he was confident he was going to get to work even without a degree.
Well, here's the thing. He took on an electrician apprenticeship.
Oh, so he was going in a different direction.
Yes. And now, I'm not going to lie. The details in this case are, like, fuzzy and confusing. There's not a whole lot. No, that's not true. There's a lot. They all say either similar or different, or like slightly different versions of the same thing.
Okay. But you know, for what it's worth, I can't knock them. I mean, so many people go to school and they think they want to do a particular thing and it turns out they don't like it, but they don't really realize it until later. So A, he realized, hey, maybe this isn't for me. Potentially. And B, I'm going to gather up the courage to just go for it, even though I had all this work put in to sports medicine.
Yeah, and it sounds like he was basically like, listen, if I don't like the working world, I can go back and finish. College will be there.
You know, it's funny that you mention that because I think we often forget that.
Right. So in like December of 15, he begins his apprenticeship under an electrician. Now, apparently this electrician company had contracts all over the United States. And he took an assignment in Minnesota to go and continue working on his apprenticeship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first article I read gave me a date, and I Googled it, and I was like, well, that doesn't line up with what they're saying. But here nor there. Let's go to Thanksgiving week, 2016. Okay?
Yes.
Julian Vals and Jeremy Carpenter both worked with Cole in Minnesota at his new job.
Okay, so they're relatively new to meeting him. They're not probably best friends.
Right. It sounds like Cole was invited to go home with them for Thanksgiving to Durham, North Carolina. Apparently, one of them didn't have a driver's license, and Cole was like, well, I'll drive, I'll come, whatever.
Okay.
So they leave in the early morning hours of November 24th, which is Thanksgiving Day. Now, it's a 17-hour drive-ish. So I don't know what they were going to accomplish, but we're going to roll with it.
I'm with you.
All right. Now, I took some screenshots, which I will share with everyone.
Okay. I love that. I love context.
The first one I'm sending you is basically the trip from Minnesota to Durham, North Carolina. Okay?
Okay.
The second one is, I'm just going to tell you where all the weird things happened, but I want you to basically see, just give me your thoughts, okay? That's where we're going to go with this. If you look at the first one, they come in through Greensboro. This is most likely, guys. I don't know the route they drove, right? But, like, according to Google Maps, they come in through Greensboro, take 40 in, and end up in Durham, right? Do you see that in the first one?
Okay, I see.
Okay. Now, the second one, you see a dot in Benson. Do you see the red dot?
Yes, I do.
Okay, that's where he went missing. And he was captured on surveillance footage in Mount Olive, which you also can see tagged in that photo.
Wait a minute.
I was just going to ask, what do you notice?
So they were en route to Durham, but the map is showing going way past Durham.
Yes. And we don't know. Now, okay, I want to read this quote to you. While in North Carolina, Cole spent several hours in Mount Olive. I don't understand how he spent several hours in Mount Olive when it's like a 17-hour drive and then it's another 2 hours, so it's a 20-hour drive on the same day. But either way, and that's what I mean by, like, I don't understand a lot of it. There is a surveillance footage of Cole in good condition, like perfectly fine, at 11:30 p.m. in Mount Olive. Okay, let's just go with that.
Okay, can you remind me again approximately what day they would have arrived in the area?
Sure, they left in the early morning hours on Thursday. So if it, let's say it's a 20-hour drive and they left at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, they should be arriving at like 11 p.m. So they must have driven straight to this convenience store.
So
now, I want you to know, none of Cole's family knew this. So this is coming from the two people that were with him.
All right, but Thanksgiving still wouldn't have been for another week, correct?
No, this is Thanksgiving Day.
They wanted to arrive on Thanksgiving night?
Amy, that's why I'm very confused.
Okay. What?
So, around 3 a.m., I guess Friday morning at this point, they call the local police in Benson, North Carolina.
Who's they?
These two guys, Jeremy and Julian. Okay?
What?
I know. So, they call the police and they say, hey, listen, we're driving back to Minnesota. Don't know why. And Cold was driving and he got off the highway. And at the intersection of East Morgan and North Elm Street in Benson, which is just a random intersection, he stopped the vehicle, jumped out, and ran away.
I don't get any of this. Wrap it up before I lose my mind.
Oh, well, wait, we're not even close.
I imagine.
Okay, so according to the now we're doing an investigation, right? Like, police are now involved because they're like, wait. This is weird. Now, according to Julian and Jeremy, they told him when they were in North Carolina that they were there to pick up drugs. And Cole didn't know that.
You drove 20 hours to get drugs?
And apparently, Jeremy said they felt like someone was following them. And Cole got really afraid and paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next, Jeremy let Julian throw the drugs out the window. And then Jeremy went after Cole to try to calm him down, right?
Sure.
He can't find him, so he goes back to the car. And on his walk back to the car, he heard two random gunshots.
What could possibly happen now? I mean...
Okay. So the police are now investigating this, and they're basically what law enforcement has pieced together is that Cole didn't know he was making a drug run. He made a drug run. He freaked out. He made them throw out the drugs, and then we don't know what happened. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that happened in 2016. In July of 2017, okay, Julian and Jeremy, along with two others, Rodolfo Delon Jr. and Anthony Riddell James Jr., were all arrested.
Okay.
They were charged with felony concealment of death and obstruction of justice. Okay?
Hmm.
Now, Cole is still missing at this point. Now, one of their lawyers said, quote, "My client was the least involved in the disappearance of Mr. Thomas."
Oh?
So they should have a reduced bond. And the judge agreed.
So everyone knows something that we don't.
So the prosecutor eventually says they think that Jeremy and Julian tricked Cole basically to driving here to purchase methamphetamine. They met up with this Rodolfo guy. They bought the meth. And they were going back to Minnesota. And Cole was like, "I want no part of this," threw the drugs, and jumped out of the car and ran. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Then this Anthony Riddell character told authorities that one of his co-defendants, which you won't say which one, hit Cole with a bat and that he later heard gunshots. Okay.
Really?
Wait, it gets better, Amy. It gets better. So now law enforcement is trying to piece together what they think happened, right? Like, what the best way to frame up this case and all of that, right? Now he's missing. He may have been murdered. He may not be murdered. He may be on the run because he thinks he's going to be in trouble. He may not be on the run. We don't know. Right? So, but Benson Police is trying to put this whole story together. Cole's family hires a private investigator. If you haven't heard the name before, just David Marshburn. He was Dior's private investigator. He's in a whole bunch of cases. Okay. Right? They offer a reward for the for information because although they think they know what happened, they don't know what happened, right? Because no one actually has any information. They just say that maybe we all know, maybe we don't know. I think that this person did something. I don't know if this person did something, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're doing searches in Benson. They're doing all of the things. They're trying to, you know, figure all this out. Okay. So that was in 2016 and 2017. In 2019 is when we get our next update. Do you want to know what that update is?
Of course I do. I hope it clears something up, but I have a funny feeling it doesn't.
All charges were dropped against the suspects.
How can we go from feeling like, oh, these people know something that we don't, to, I guess not, so they had to let him go?
That would be my assumption. Now, law enforcement, quote, says, the investigation into the death and disappearance of Cole Thomas is ongoing. We continue to follow up on new information. I made the decision to dismiss the current charges due to lack of evidence and in order to avoid compromising any potential future prosecutions. But that was 3 years ago, and there's been nothing since.
So what's the deal with the private investigator?
So he thinks, so he basically interrogated everyone and, you know, did what a private investigator does. And I'm going to read you, I'll read you some quotes from him. He basically says he knows what happened, right? He's like, I've pieced it together. He thinks there were four arrested, two of them are not involved, but are being framed. The other two are involved. And it was about a drug deal. And Cole freaked out about police and got rid of the drugs. And they were someone else's money, basically. So they killed him because he wasted someone else's money.
Unbelievable.
That's what the private investigator says. But law enforcement does not necessarily agree with that. Law enforcement says, we dismissed everything. It's an ongoing investigation.
I mean, honestly, the private investigator's theory sums everything up for me.
Okay, but who did it and who didn't?
I mean, yes, perhaps that's a question. But I also still just can't wrap my head around. Did you make any effort whatsoever in Minnesota to find drugs on your own? Why did you drive 20 hours? And I know that's kind of stupid, because if you have a drug problem, or if you want drugs, you'll do anything to get them. I mean, people have no limits to what they'll do.
But Cole's aunt makes a great point in one of these articles. Even if all of this is true and drugs are involved, where is he? You don't just get out of the car in the middle of the night and not be found.
Well, if he was killed, he was disposed of.
I want to send you one more photo of where his truck was found. Or his vehicle. I said truck, but I'm just going to... And you can leave this in, Caitlin, but yes, I will send them all to you because you're going to be texting me when you're editing and asking for them. So I just sent you over, like, where it was... Where his car was... His vehicle was found. And it's not somewhere that... I'll let you make an opinion first.
Okay. Hang on. Explain what I'm looking for in the picture again.
That's where his vehicle was left. That he jumped out and ran away.
In the middle of almost an intersection.
Yes.
Well, that cleared up nothing for me, by the way.
But it's like a rural area, right? And like it's, and there are houses and stuff. Like, you would think...
Yeah, it's definitely not a city.
Right, but you would think if he's in trouble, like, he could have gone to any of those houses. If it actually happened there.
True.
We know he's on surveillance footage at 11:30 p.m. in a convenience store. Now, there's another surveillance footage, and his dad says it's him. But I can't find anything about law enforcement saying it was him.
What town was the convenience store in?
Mount Olive.
That's a pretty far distance from Durham, where they were going, right?
Right.
So, it's not like he got... that far, went to the convenience store and was like, whoops, like, I finally understand what you're doing. You have drugs. Like, they passed Durham. That's where they were supposed to be going. At that point, he would have been asking questions like, where are we going? What are we doing?
Right. And now there is a surveillance footage at 1 a.m. on the next morning that his dad says is his. It's his son with another man. But law enforcement has not confirmed or stated that either.
How did he travel so far past Durham and they subdued him? I'm not talking about physically, but they just, like, gave some excuse that was acceptable to Cole of why they passed their destination. And then he gets upset and jumps out of the vehicle?
Well, my guess is they picked up the drugs in Mount Olive and then started heading back toward the way they came, and Cole freaked out.
Sure, but as he's passing exit signs for Durham, what are they telling him that keep him quiet?
He's driving. I don't know.
I mean, exactly. More to my point. They told him something that made him trust and keep driving.
I mean, yes.
I don't know. I don't know what that means. I just think there's something fishy about that.
Okay, so let's pretend at that point they told Cole they're going to a friend's house in Mount Olive. Whatever. And he was like, well, we're here. Like, what made you try to turn around and drive back to Minnesota? Like, we've been driving for however long. So they get to Mount Olive, and he finds out they're picking up meth, right? Which is what likely happened.
Yeah.
Mount Olive is about a 40-minute drive to Benson. So they get the drugs. They drive about 40 minutes back toward... Now, at this point, they had to have been up for almost 24 hours.
This whole thing doesn't make any sense to me.
And I want to read this again. Jeremy says that Cole jumped out. Jeremy went after him, couldn't find him, came back to the car, and he heard two gunshots. Which we have to assume is a lie, because his body would be there.
If there were gunshots, there might even be blood somewhere, maybe?
Well, they have Cole's truck, because he jumped out of it and left it.
Start to finish, this makes no sense.
None of it does. You know what it reminds me of? You know when you're in college, and I'm going to tell a story about us. You get this harebrained idea at 11 p.m. to take a 2-hour, 3-hour drive back to your hometown. And then you visit some people, and then you drive back to college for your finals.
Sounds like a story I know.
Yeah, that's what this reminds me of. Only we may have taken a 2.5-hour drive. This is a 17-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the planning and forethought that I think went into this.
I mean, I get not telling your parents. I don't think either one of us did that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to call my parents.
At least until it was said and done.
I still don't know that I called them and was like, hey, we didn't sleep last night. We drove back to Connecticut.
Right.
But either way, my thing is, like, it's one thing for that to happen, but it was only a 2.5-hour drive, right? This is a 17-hour drive.
Yeah.
I have a lot of questions. How'd they get back to Minnesota? What happened to his car? Or his truck, rather? I mean, I know his family is still fighting for answers, but... And then, like, how did one of them... say that someone may have beat him with a bat, but they don't know. And if that's the case, again, they search the area.
Well, I don't know if they're smart enough for this, but maybe they thought if they made up an area, it would be less detectable for where a crime actually occurred.
Right, like it happened in, like, Mount Olive, and then they drove the truck 40 minutes north.
Yeah.
But then why not drive the truck back to Minnesota? No one knew he was there. And don't tell me because they don't have a license. They just bought meth.
No, it wasn't that. I was thinking about cell phone stuff. Maybe they were concerned about cell phone tracking or something. But if that were true, they would have noticed discrepancies between the cell phone and the story. Unless the story's true, to a degree.
I mean, there's nothing about cell phone data. And I have to believe that in 2016, we have cell phone data.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, where is Cole?
Well, I don't believe the ending of the story. I think something happened before then. Gosh, no one had a Ring doorbell? Darn.
So let me ask you this. The video that his dad says is him in Benson at 1 a.m. You don't think that's him? You guys didn't see Amy throw her head to the ceiling.
um, Well, it could have been him, and the time in which the jump out of the truck happened might be inaccurate.
But they left, the police came to his car. Do you see why I've debated this case a whole bunch of times? Because it makes no sense. And, you know, normally I can put a story together, right? And normally I can say, okay, here's a timeline. Here's what happened. Sure, we have that. But it's based on the stories of a bunch of liars, in my opinion. And, like, yes, it's corroborated by a couple surveillance videos.
And what could he have done with the meth that, you know, for example, like, let's say he was mad about the meth and he threw it out the window. I mean, what would stop you from stopping the car and just picking it up off the road?
That is a great question.
Like, did he throw it in a sewer or something?
The quote that I have says, when they were at an intersection in Benson, Cole stopped the car and took off. Jeremy told Cole's dad that Cole thought someone was following them. And at this point, Jeremy took the drugs and threw them out the window. I guess of a parked car, which is dumb. That doesn't even sound right. You're not going to throw out the drugs and call the cops.
Make it make sense.
None of it does. That's the thing. Literally nothing makes sense. Except for, I think Cole was suckered into something he didn't realize what was happening.
Right. And he wouldn't, if he was so scared of getting caught with drugs, he wouldn't have run off with the drugs.
No. But I don't imagine he would have ran either. Like,
and that is the only plausible reason I could think of to, like, if you were struggling with a substance use disorder, like, that's the only reason I could think of to, like, shoot someone to stop them from running off with your drugs. But I don't think that's what happened.
All right,
here.
I want to tell you something that his private investigator said, and take it for what it's worth. We did obtain information, and we found out they lied to us about where Cole's phone was. It went from Mount Olive to Benson, out of Benson, back around, back into Benson, back to Mount Olive. That doesn't help me at all.
They did a circle.
It sounds that way.
That doesn't tell me anything. I mean, for all we know, they could have at some point stopped and disposed of a body. Or beat him up and left him.
Okay, but I wanted to let you know, there's a definitely an 11:30.
But wait a minute. If you like just left, I don't know.
Well, there's definitely a 11:30 sighting. There could be a 1 a.m. sighting. And at 3 a.m. is when they called 911 to report a missing. So it's not like it's a huge window of time. They didn't have days. Although they could have had days if they wanted to.
Do you think it's possible they went, the two guys ripped off the drug dealer, therefore they were followed? That's what scared Cole from jumping out of the truck, and that made him look guilty, and the drug dealers ran after him and disposed of his body and then told the two other guys, like, if you say anything, the same thing's going to happen to you.
I mean, I think that's just as likely.
And they could have taken the body with them to dispose of the body.
I mean, I don't love it, but it's the best we have right now. Everyone says there's drugs involved, and it sounds like they were coming down to pick up more than, like, a single use of meth, which makes me wonder, like,
which I hope so after that long of a drive. I mean, that sounds awful, and I don't mean it the way it sounds, but, like, make it make sense. Like, you're going to make a drive to get something to bring back with you, right?
And it makes me wonder, like, did they come with someone else's money? And then when the drugs got thrown out, I don't know.
So maybe there's additional people involved in this. You know, one thing stands clear is this kid was roped into something unknowingly, and something happened to him that shouldn't. And I'm not implying that any one person should harm anybody else or there's anyone more deserving or less deserving. But in this particular case, I'm just referring to what an unfortunate and needless disappearance and or death.
I want to read this to you. There are no facts we know of to base those statements off of. Cole's aunt told Dateline. Even if drugs were somehow involved, where is he? You don't just run away in the middle of the night and not be found.
Agreed.
So the theories are either it was foul play or he's on the run.
Oh, we weren't talking theories already? I was already...
I was too, but I'm telling you what's out there. Is like, he's on the run, okay, or these people killed him.
I don't know. I'm a deer in headlights.
I am too. And I like, everything about it makes me crazy.
Do you want to open it up?
I do. I want everyone to tell us what they think, because make anything, like Amy said, make it make sense.
All right, then. I guess that's all I've got. And I'm going to go eat a pint of ice cream and put myself to bed so I don't think about it anymore.
I want you to know it's 4:30 in the afternoon, Amy says that, but that's fine.
That's about how I feel.
All right, we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.